of Hilchos Nida is to try to have a reasonable understanding and grasp of halacha l'maisa through the sugyos. And the intention is that we should spend time working on the sugyos and bring that up to the halacha l'maisa. We're going to more or less go in a topical order rather than a Seder Shulchan Aruch order and rather than a Seder Masechta order. The Iker sugyos of the Masechta that are halacha l'maisa, beginning Nun Ches to the end, that's what the kol is starting with. Is everyone learning our limud in the afternoon? Okay, so the kol limud is beginning on Nun Ches, which kind of dovetails with the sugyos that we'll more or less start with. But the Iker halacha l'maisa sugyos are Nun Ches to the end. There's a smattering of halacha l'maisa sugyos early in the Masechta, but they're not concentrated. But more or less the order that we'll follow, and we may fine-tune as we go on, but what's worked in the past is topical. So we'll start with Takdama about the definition of Nida Daraisa and Zava Daraisa and Takanas Reb Zeira, Benos Yisrael, Takanas Rebbe. And then we'll go on Big Adol to what makes a woman a Nida. Hargasha, Hilchos Ksamim, which is Siman Kuf Pei Gimel and Kuf Tzadi, the Sugyos in the beginning of Arua Kesem and Daf Nun Ches. And then we'll probably talk about some of the other Dam-related topics, Dam B'Hashtana, and Dam Maka, and Dam B'Sulim, which are in the early Kuf Tzadis in Shulchan Aruch. And then that's how a woman becomes a Nida, and then we'll talk about how a woman gets out of Nida Sertoma and the process of Bedikos Shivanakiyam, the Tara process. Then we'll talk about Chatzitzos, and at some point we'll talk about Archakos, and we'll probably end up with Vestos. Vestos I usually leave to the end because there are chunks of Hilchos Vestos that are less Halach L'maisa, so depending on how pressed we are for time, we may end up skipping some of the less L'maisa sub-sugyos and just focus on that which is more L'maisa, but we'll have more of a sense of that as we go on. The plan is that we're supposed to do Hilchos Avelus more or less after Pesach. I'm assuming there's one year where most of the guys had already learned Avelus one way or another, wanted to do Nida all year, but I'm assuming that's not going to be the case unless you all tell me otherwise. But the default plan is that we do Hilchos Nida more or less until Pesach. May end up, depending on the calendar, being a couple weeks past Pesach, and then we transition to Avelus. The expectation is, and stop me at any time with questions, the expectation is that you're basically going to be learning minimally Torbeis Yosef. Where there are sugyas in the Masechta, the expectation is that you be working, at least to some extent, on those sugyas. So Torbeis Yosef, Mechaber Ramah, Shach, Piskei Tshuva. So the default expectation is minimally you're seeing Torbeis Yosef, Mechaber Ramah, Shach, Piskei Tshuva. There are some simanim where, let's say, the latter part of Siman Kusadi, where things are less lemaisa. So for certain simanim, I'll tell you, we're not going to focus that much in the chaburas, and you should just run through Mechaburam Shach Piskei Tshuva, and you don't have to go through the Beis Yosef to the normal extent, because those topics are a little bit less lemaisa, and we do have to budget time to try to focus on that, which is more l'maisa. So I'll be sending out, I already copied you on the first Mar Mekomo sheet. You got that? So I'll be sending out Mar Mekomo as we go on, which are supplementary, meaning these are the things that I would expect you to see inside, beyond Torbeis Yosef, Mechaber Ramah, etc. Things which are in brackets are things that I'll mention in the Chabur, maybe even I won't get to, which I don't expect you to see inside, but they're there if you want to, and that way you have on paper where they are. And you'll get a sense as, you know, how much time you want to spend in certain sugyos. You know, people have different orientations as far as what they want to focus on, and obviously you're at a stage in learning and your own development where you should have the independence within certain boundaries to kind of branch out as you feel appropriate. In terms of chaburos, generally speaking, where the plan is two chaburos a week. Shalom Aleichem. You are? Welcome. In terms of chaburos, generally chaburos are twice a week for about an hour, maybe a little bit more than an hour, but we'll try to keep it around an hour. Unless this is a problem, my intention is that chaburos should be Sunday at the beginning of Seder and Wednesday at the beginning of Seder. I'm assuming that the Kol Chaburus will be the end of Seder on Wednesday. It happens to be that Kol Zerim Masechet did also, so definitely Kedai to hear Rav Shechter's Chaburus when he gives them. So if that changes, then we'll change also, but assuming that Rav Shechter's Chaburus are going to be later in Seder on Wednesday, and our Chaburus would be beginning at 3 till about 4. And Sundays, I usually give a Masmidim Shir right after Mincha too, so Sundays would be like 2:30. If you'll tell me, I have a little bit of flexibility. You know, so if you tell me that there's on a given Sunday, there's a chasana that if you guys are going to, if you give me enough notice, I could probably do it that week on Monday instead of Sunday. So the default is Sunday, but if something comes up that affects more than a couple of people, let me know and we can try to be flexible. You know, there may be Sundays where I have a commitment that I can't get out of also, and then I reschedule for Monday. So I think Monday would be the fallback if Sunday ever doesn't work out, but the default would be Sunday and Wednesday for Chaburas. At some point, I may add in a third Chabura on a given week if I see that we're falling behind or we need to, or guys are getting ahead or whatever the case may be. If we need to add a third Chabura, sometimes we will. When we get to Avelis, usually that becomes three Chaburas by default because then we're just rushing to... there's no other way of doing it, but to the extent that we can only start a Velus after Pesach or thereabouts, so maximum we have 2 months for the Limud, which is definitely not enough time to do it justice. We do the best that we can. We try to focus on that, which is more Lamaisa. But when we do a Velus, it'll probably be three Chaburas a week just because we're going to have to cover ground. And it could be when we get to the end of Nida, we'll also see that we need to cover more ground, and we'll do three Chaburas a week, but I'm going to try Yodlich Achila to keep it to two. Okay. Generally speaking, I'm around yeshiva the days that we do chaburos. The days that we don't have chaburos, I'm usually at the Beis Din, but I'm accessible. So you can always email me with any questions on the Lima. You can call me, text me, and I'll try to respond as quickly as I'm able to. But you know, even when I'm not here, I should be generally accessible within reason. In terms of Svarim on the Seches Nida, so minimally you need a Gemara Nida, you need a Tur, and you need a Shulchan Aruch. You could have a Tur Shulchan Aruch in one volume, either this printing or the Tomer Dvora Machon Yishalayim printing, whatever you like. So that's a minimum starting point. In terms of Rishonim, it's your choice what you want to buy and what you want to use off the shelf. You have the standard Rishonim on Maseches Nida. There are also two collections I'm aware of that are Malakate, the Rishonim that are not Al Seder Adaf. So you have the Kovet Shitas Kamai, which is one volume in Nida, and there's another volume which they have the Beis Medrash downstairs. I think it's called Shitim Gebetzes HaKadosh, which has Kovet Shitas Kamai is Al Adaf, so they print all the Rishonim on that Daf. That other volume, the Sudo Shitu Gebetzes, just has all the Ozerua Nida printed, all the Smocks printed, well, every Rishon in order by the Rishon, not everything mixed in, I'll say to that. But those are out there. Again, you have the standard Rishonim, and what you want to buy, what you want to use, is totally up to you, depending on your interests and budget and whatnot. In terms of Sifrei Kitzer on Hilchos Nida, there are a lot of Sifrei Kitzer written in the last decades. I'm not telling you what to buy or what to use. It's probably a good idea to have at least a couple of the Kitzer Sfarim for your own libraries and for reference when we give the Shirim. We'll talk about, we'll quote a lot of these Sfarim at different points. But in terms of the roster of at least the Kitzer Sfarim that are more popular that I use, so going back a few decades, you have Rabbi Shimon Eider's English book on Hilchos Nida, which I think was the first comprehensive English work on Hilchos Nida. It doesn't cover everything. He doesn't have Vestos, but he has most of the other topics in Hilchos Nida. Originally, it's printed as two volumes. Now, if you buy it, it's combined into a single binding. That was classic. Rabbi Eider wrote the classic original English Kitzer Sfarim in the 70s and 80s. I think he was a former SOY president, dorm counselor, before he moved on to Lakewood. Then also from the late 70s, you have a sefer that's not as popular anymore that most people aren't aware of. called Gufei Halachos or Mishabru HaChadash. This is written by Rabbi Wallhendler, Zichrono Livracha, who was in Williamsburg. He was ideologically to the right of the Tir Karta. Very fine person. I sat with him for a get once a number of years ago. He wrote a sefer in Gittin also. So he wrote this very controversial sefer on Hilchas Nida. It was controversial because he called it Mishnah Brura Chadash. And the Tzur Sadaf is like a Mishnah Brura. It says Mishnah Brura, Be'er Halacha, Shaar Tzion. And even though the subtitle is Gufei Halachos, if you open the sefer, it looks like a Mishnah Brura. So people were upset that he kind of called the sefer the Mishnah Brura. And that didn't go over well, so I think people prefer to refer to it as the Gufei Halachos, if referring to it at all. Rabbi Willig, when he gave Shir Manida in my time, 20-whatever years ago, before there were a lot of the other kids as far as that have since been published, quoted the Gufei Halachos a lot. It's three volumes. I own two of them. The other one I think is hard to find. They're all out of print, but so we may quote him on occasion. Yep. Rav Ozner Zichrono Livracha, Shiurei Shevet Halevi is one of the classics. He didn't write it himself. It's written up from notes from his Shiurim. But one of the classics far contemporary, or as far as the last generation, on Hilchos Nida. I think Rabbi Neuberger in Yeshiva learned Hilchos Nida by Rav Ozner, and some of his psika comes from what he heard from Rav Ozner. Badi Ashochan, Revival Kohn, now of Lakewood, formerly of Flatbush, is a classic. He used to, the original printing, it was one volume of Nida, one volume of Tefillah. I think now, that's what I have at home, but I think now they print it all in a single volume, Nida and Tefillah together. Ba'al HaShulchan is always a classic. New Sefer, relatively new Sefer, Rabbi Karp from Kiryat Sefer, Mishmeres HaTara, two volumes. Rabbi Karp is amazing. His footnotes are amazing. He really works out the sugya and the rishonim in the footnotes very well. Pleasure to read, and he has a lot of Piskei Halacha from Avo Yashiv. So we use Rabbi Karp's form a lot in our shir. Mishmeres HaTara, relatively recent. Rav Avadya, three volumes, Tara Sabayis, two volumes on Nida, one volume on Tefila and in Chatzitza. So anything from Rav Avadya is obviously classic. Other recent svarim, there's a relatively thin sefer called Pre-Tara. That's the shirim of Rabbi Forsheimer from Lakewood, who's the unofficial posek of Lakewood. So someone put out his shirim and Hilchos Nida called Pre-Tara, thin volume with reasonable footnotes. Rabbi David Morgenstern, one of Rav Yashiv's close shamashim, originally American, he has two volumes, Piskei Das. He deals a lot with the science and medical angles of Hilchos Nida. So he did a lot of research with medical professionals, and a lot of that comes out in the svarim that he references. A lot of English medical words in there. So Piskei Das obviously has a lot from Rav Yashiv. He was one of the people closest to Rav Yashiv. Rabbi Forst, two volumes in English, Hilchos Nida, which also anything he writes is an instant classic. Rabbi Rubin of Orcho Shabbos fame has a thin volume in Hilchos Nida called Mare Kohen, which I don't think has become, it's not as comprehensive as Orcho Shabbos, it hasn't become as popular as Orcho Shabbos, but it looks like Orcho Shabbos. It's a lot, it's a thinner volume, it's not as heavily footnoted as Orcho Shabbos, but he has psalkim from the Gedolim of the last generation. Machon Pua in Eretz Yisrael, led by Rabbi Borstein. Machon Pua, he comes here every few years. He hasn't been here in a while, so he's probably due for a visit. But Machon Pua originally was founded as a machon for dealing with issues of infertility halachically, and expanded to other areas of Taras HaMishpacha and Eitzos and Psika and things like that. But Rabbi Borstein's claim to fame, so to speak, or what he does best, is he was Malakei Chitos. He spoke to all the Gedolim across the Hashkafic spectrum in Eretz Yisrael. And what Pua does is, if you call them at the Shaila, they ask you, what Migzar do you fall in? Where do you fall Hashkafically? Who are your poskim? And they'll tell you what the psika is based on what your where you live and who you follow. So the nice thing about their Svarim, they have a set of Sifrei Pua and then a set of Tshuvas Pua. So the Tshuvas Svarim, they ask a Shaila to 15 Gedolim across the spectrum, and they print all their answers. So you have, in a nicely concentrated way, a whole array of Tshuvas from a large spectrum of poskim on some of the topics of the day. So that's a nice resource. Then there's some other Svarim that are more subtopical. We get to Rechakos. There's a sefer from 30, 40 years ago called Sugaba Shoshanim, which is good on Rechakos. Rabbi Chiyon Michel Stern, Shlomo Zalman's nephew, has two volumes also decades ago. He's written a lot of Svarim since. Shari Tar and Shari Tfila on Tara / Ksamim and on Tfila / Chatzitza. So those are also, I'm sure, out of print, but valuable far. Okay. Any questions? Yeah.
Are there any of you recommend?
Yes, I'm not going to recommend because different people like different things, so it's hard to recommend. I'll probably be quoting from all of these at different points. It's a good idea to find the kitzur sefer that you like to kind of use, but I'm not recommending one over another.
The point of the kitzur sefer is like for 10 years from now when I don't necessarily remember everything inside, or like while you're learning.
No, I think both. I mean, I think there is value in just seeing how someone. I mean, the degree of difference in terms of psika. I mean, let's say within Ashkenazi poskim. So aside from Thomas Tobias, everything I just quoted is Ashkenazi psak. Any Sfardim here? Right. Okay. But though we quote Rav Avadya often enough, you don't feel bad. So you'll read the Taras Abayis. But within Ashkenazi psika, obviously there are things that are subject to machlokas, but we'll highlight that when there's a machlokas. But 80-90% of the material will be the same in any of the kitzur farm. So when you're looking at sugya, it's valuable. You know, it's after you finish a sugya to see how someone presents everything in kind of that kitzur fashion and summary, and see if that stims with how you work out the sugya yourself. It's kind of like Rosh Hefter says that when he was in yeshiva, he once decided as an exercise to take a Nigros Moshe and read the Shaila and figure out what the answer should be, and then see where Moshe wrote. So he did that, and every single tshuva, Moshe said something totally different than what he expected, because Moshe's godus was such that he developed things in a totally different way. But when it comes to something like this, you probably should see that the sikkum and the kitzur sefer should more or less align with what you take out of the sugya, and if it doesn't, then you'll go back and see why not. So I think that's the purpose. You shouldn't be paskening from any kitzur svarim. That's what the Marshal didn't like in Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah, but that we're past that. But it's worthwhile just being able to review through such a work to kind of be misakeim the sugyas.
Is there anything out of Sobolovsky's book? Someone mentioned it to me. It's safe for...
Yes, he didn't write it himself. Someone wrote up his notes, and I think he reviewed it. But yeah, that's also it's good to have.
Was not mentioned B'dafka?
No, he did not mention B'dafka. It's just a different... It's a different style. It's kind of like all the Svarim that I mentioned are kind of al Seder Shulchan Aruch. I think with a couple exceptions, but just about all the Svarim are al Seder Shulchan Aruch. That's kind of topical, and it's not meant to give a final psika. Meaning, you could it's kind of a summary of sugyos, and if you read it carefully, you can extract psak. But it's like a little bit of a different style in the classic Kitzur Sefer. But it's good.
Simons?
Rabbi Simons is Sefer Anita?
Doesn't he send out like sheets to his...
He has packets, right. But you wrote a Sefer?
No.
I haven't seen it if he did. Okay.
The packets?
I think the packets are the Mar Mekomis for his shirim, so... I'm assuming there'll probably be a lot of overlap between what he quotes and we quotes. So if you want to look at the packets, then it might be helpful to then you may have less work going to the farm shelf to pull something out. I mean, I guess you can make your own packets too if you take the marmot hummus and cut and paste. Okay, any other questions about Seder? And Seder obviously is the same as Kol Seder, so the same hours and same expectations as Kol. I think you also have to sign in even if you're in this track.
Do you expect that we're going to need 3.5 hours to learn the Limbud?
Yeah, I expect that. I think that's the expectation, and I think you probably will. Okay, so let's just talk, let's give a brief hakdama to the hakdama of the limud, and then Eretz Hashem on Sunday we'll start for real. The mission of us, the end of the third parak, Lazim Chispa Omer, Kidun Epischei Nida, Hein Hein Gufi Alachos, Tkufos Gematrios, Parparos Achachmas. So Lazim Chispa says that Kinen and Piskei Nida are Gufei Halachos. What does that mean, Gufei Halachos, and what's the significance of Kinen and Piskei Nida in this context? The Meiri says that there's nothing particularly important about Nida and Kinen per se. It's just that Nida is the end of Seder Taros, and Kinen is the end of Seder Kachim. So the Mishnah is saying that all of Shas, all topics are Gufei Halachos, are of critical importance, and you have to learn everything to the very end, to the end of Kachim and the end of Taros, and you shouldn't limit your Liba to specific Mesectos, but you have to focus on everything. The Perish of Yuchas Rashi, however, understands that Piskei Nida is Milashon Tchila, Milashon, the beginning of Nida. And what's that reference? They said that reference is to a situation described in the Gemara in Erech and Dafes. The mission, Erech and Dafes, says, Ein Pesach Betoa Pachos Mishiva. That the mission there is discussing situations of Safek where a woman is misupekes, whether she's a zava, whether she's a nida, how you count a meziva. So in all the various scenarios that the Mishnah describes of sfekos, the minimum amount of time you need for a tara process is 7 days. Lo yeser al yud zayin. So ein pesach betoa less than 7, not more than 16. And then the Mishnah has the explanation as to how do you get those various calculations. So the Miyuchas Rashi says, Piskei Nida is a reference to that lashon in the Mishnah of Ein Pesach Betoa Pachos Mishiva. So that din of Tchilas Nida, of Piskei Nida, Hein Hein Gufei Torah, Ayu Kalos Beinecha. That you shouldn't take it lightly, even though those are situations of Safek, even though you don't know what the status is, so we're just advising you out of Suffolk, you have to be machmir in certain situations for potentially extra days of Tara, but you should take that seriously. Don't take it lightly just because it's a result of a Suffolk, and that's Hein Hein Gufei Halacha, Hein Hein Gufei Torah, that these are Dvarim Chamurim, even if the initial impetus is one of Suffolk. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Perush and Avos, understands Piskei Nida not as beginnings, but as openings. That you have to be able to be mafkin between different types of damas. We'll talk about dam in a makor, dam in a prosdar. You have to be able to differentiate between different maros damim. So Piskei Nida is a reference to the various openings in the body that could result in various statuses of dam. Some will be dam tahor, some will be Dan Tome. So the same idea that you have to be careful and you shouldn't be dismissive or you shouldn't be uncareful about identifying what is Dan Tahar, what is Dan Tome, what comes from a Pesach that creates a problem, what comes from a Pesach that creates Dan, which is Tahar. So again, ayu kalas beinecha, but not pispei milasho and pispei nida of the beginning in Pesach Petoah, but rather milashon the openings in the body. Nether Shmuel, which is not a medrash, but one of the early acronym on early Italian acronym on Gerke Yavos, understands that the comparison here, or the reason the mission zeroes in on Pispei Nida and Kinin, is the contrast between things that are more lamaisa and things that are less lamaisa. Kinin, the Mishnah says, is an example of halachas that are not very lamaisa. Not very lamaisa, A, because nowadays it's even less lamaisa, even bizman abayis, the kind of far-flung situations described of birds that literally fly the coop in Maseches Kinin that create all these funny sekos are not very lamaisa. And yet, Pisfei Nida, the Lachas of Nida, are Maisa B'Choyom. Those are things that are very much Halacha L'Maisa and very much practical. So the comparison is that you have to be as focused on those areas of Halacha that are very practical, like Hilchos Nida, as on the areas that are less practical, like Hilchos Kinin. You have to focus on both, to some extent, maybe equally. Rabbi Wallhander, in his Hakdama to Gufei Halachos, says the opposite. He says that Pisfei Nida maybe is also like Kinin in that regard, that the Mishnah is focusing on the details in Hilchos Nida that are also far flung. That Mishnah that we referenced earlier in Erchin, of all these cases of Sveikos that are not as the Maisa, so Kinin and those details of Pisfei Nida also are less lamaisa, and yet you have to be focused on the less lamaisa areas of halacha as well. There's another element of learning Hilchos Nida that the Kesa Mishnah focuses on in the end of Perek Dalet Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Kesa Mishnah writes, quotes our Mishnah, and he says, Pisfei Nida nos'am davar mechuar. The topic of Nida is not something that's usually a topic for public discourse. It's not something that usually would be discussing. Afal pikein elu hein gufe halachos, klomar ikrei Torah mitzad haskar gadol ha'safun la'oska behem. So even though the actual lemaisa details of Hilchos Nida may sometimes not be the types of topics that we would typically discuss in a public forum. Nevertheless, that's still part of Torah, and there's still a schar gadol la'oskim behem, even if there may be, on some level, a reticence to discuss some of these topics publicly. And along those lines, Rav Avadia quotes in his Hagama from a Medrash Rabba Parshas Mitzorah, Parsha Yates. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak pasar kraya v'pershusei shel Torah. Afa pisha nira ki ilu hein ku'uros ushkoros la'omim barabim. Even there are topics in Torah that at first glance seem uncouth, seem inappropriate to discuss in a public forum. Kigon hilchos ziva unigayim nida v'yoleda. So these are things that you wouldn't naturally discuss in public. Nevertheless, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Harei Hein, Arevos Alai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, they're dear to me. Shinamav, Arval Hashem, and Chas Yudav Yishalayim. Tevilcha, Shukain, Shrei Parsha Zav, Zava, Lo Nemru, Ka'achas, El Zubif Ne'asmo, Zubif Ne'asmo. Ish Ish, Ki Yeh Zav, Yisaro, Visha, Ki Yeh Zub, Zov, Dama. So Medrash says, the Torah really could have included Zav and Zav in the same Parsha. There's a lot of overlap. Some of the details are different, but there's a lot of overlap between Zav and Zava. And for that matter, the Medrash doesn't say, but between Zava and Nida, which is also its own Parsha. And nevertheless, the Torah has a separate Parsha for Zav, a separate Parsha for Zava, to show that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has an affinity for these Parshios, even though it's something that at first glance he wouldn't discuss or give shiur on. But Kadosh Baruch Hu has an affinity, as demonstrated by the fact that the Torah, in some level, uses extra psukim to flesh out the details of these parshas. So That's what Kaza Mishnah says, is another aspect of Hein Hein Gufei Torah, that you shouldn't think just because the topic of Hilchos Nida is something that at first glance is a little bit beyond the normal discourse, you shouldn't think that it's any less Talmud Torah, and you shouldn't shy away from learning it or even giving shir Barabbas. And Rav Avadia then goes on to rail against certain Sfardim that would not discuss Hilchos Nida in a public forum, and the result of that was that many women in these communities didn't know the basics of Hilchos Aras HaMishpacha, and as we go on, we'll talk about some other specific contexts in which Rav Avadia brings that up, but he feels, he actually writes that this was something that the Ashkenazim did a lot better than the Sfardim, which you don't hear from him often. But here, this reticence of certain Sephardic communities to talk about Hilchos Nida Barabbim, he writes in different places, led to unfortunate consequences and amaratzis in basics of Taras HaMishpacha. So he says it should overcome your reticence. That's what Hein Hein Gufei Torah means, according to the Kasa Mishnah, that these are things that do deserve treatment in public, even if it's not something we normally talk about in other contexts. Okay, so those are some perspectives on the limit of Hilchos Nida Bigadol. So Mirz Hashem, on Sunday, we'll begin the limit for real with Hakdama of definition of Nida Daraisa, definition of Zava Daraisa. So for that, I sent you the Marmar Kamashi, but you should begin with the Beis Yosef and Simon Kuf Begimel. It's a lengthy Beis Yosef. It doesn't correspond to the brevity of it actually makes into Shulchan Aruch. But you should take a look at the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Begimel and the sugis that he quotes at the end of the Masechta, Gemara Daf Ayin Aleph. So we'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll follow it up with a discussion of Takanas Rebbe and Chumrah Benos Yisrael, Reb Zeira, so that all emerges from the Beis Yosef here, and I sent you the supplementary Marmar Kamos on that as well. So for the people that didn't make it here in person, you can pass on the summary of what we discussed, and you can tell whoever didn't make it that they should feel free to reach out with any questions. Okay. Do we have a volunteer to record Shiurim in general? Don't all talk at once. Yeah? Okay, that would be great. Great. Okay. That's awesome.
I should send it to you after.
I'm sorry?
I should send it to you after.
I don't think I need...